Situations Media Station. This is Spiritual Fortitude with Dr. Angela Kennel, right now on 102.6 The Situation.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. It is I, Dr. Angela Kennel, your host of Spiritual Fortitude, and it is certainly a blessing to be here with you this morning. On my drive in, I'm going to be totally transparent. I was flying, y'all. I was. I know. I know my brother, like, Lord have mercy. But yeah, because I had to get here, man, you know, but nevertheless, you know what I thought about? I was like, Lord, in the midst of the chaos, you still provide a space of peace. And I really think it's because of his presence. You know, God is omnipresent, so he's everywhere. But I've seen it in within the last month that no matter what I am challenged with, he continues to keep me in peace, even when I think that all peace is lost and I don't know how I'm gonna feel it or find it, but he manages every time. It's like, Angela, I got you. Just keep looking up. And so that's my advice to any of you with any challenges that you're facing, honestly and seriously. I ain't playing with it. Seriously, keep looking up. Don't look out. Look up. Because that is where your strength is going to come from. And even when you're dealing with situations that you just don't think that you're going to manage to get through, trust me. If you haven't experienced it or seen it yet, you will. If you put your trust in him, he will bring you through. And you will have no smoke, no scars, no anything to show that that you've experienced something out of the ordinary. I truly am an advocate for trusting him. You know, you take the time, you know, and you trust people blindly. Why not trust God the same way? You know. My mama used to always tell me, don't put your faith in man, Angela. They will fail you every time. Don't do it. And I admit I've made the mistake of putting my trust in people. And every time I've done it, they failed me in some form or fashion. But the good thing is redemption, forgiveness of yourself, forgiveness of others, is always available. And I don't care how hard it is, take that. And because forgiveness is not for anybody else, it's for you. It's to build you back up. I know how it is when you're torn down. I know how it is when your heart is broken. I know how it is. I do. Honestly, I do. But no, first and foremost, forgive yourself. And then forgive others and move forward. Continue to walk in love, because love will always win. Always win, y'all. Not get back, not pay back, not hate, not even regret, but love. Love. Love will always, always, always win. God has shown me that over and over again. And just when I thought that I knew enough of it, he continues to show me that there's levels to that. Amen. Amen. Let's go before him in prayer. Father God, thank you so very much for yet another day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of opening up our eyes this morning. Thank you so much for the sunshine outside today. It's a beautiful day. Thank you so much for painting the sky the way that you did this morning. I always look forward to that. You are an artist of nature. Father God, thank you. Thank you for continuing to make sure that goodness and mercy follows us each and every day. And God, forgive me for days that I don't acknowledge goodness and mercy because I know that they're following me. Lord, thank you for your grace. That is a gift too. And I am so grateful for that. Father God, continue to bless our listeners. Please anoint their ears to hear. May love and laughter cover their minds and their hearts and their spirits during this hour. Father God, bless my guests. Thank you so much for getting him here safely this morning. And I pray that this is one of the best episodes ever. This is certainly your show, so you have your way first and foremost. It's not my will, Lord, but yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Selah moment today is I Want God by Maurette Brown Clark.
I don't want a form of godliness. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. And I don't want to give him second best. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. I want God,
I want God.
All I ever wanted was God.
I don't want to give him second
best. Don't want to give him
I want God.
Second best.
All I ever want is God.
See, I want to live like
him.
Treat everybody right. Precious.
the Selah moment. I Want God by Maurette Brown Clark. Good morning to my father, Edward Kendall Sr. down in Dawson, Georgia. Good morning to my wonderful and protective brother, Ed, and his beautiful wife, Veronica Kendall, over in Hiram, Georgia. Good morning, you two. Good morning also to my aunt and uncle, Barbara and Johnny Williams, over in Fairburn, Georgia. I love you both, and I send my love to you. And good morning to, oh my goodness, the collective. Thank you, ladies, for your kind words and prayers this morning. You continue to bless me richly, and I thank God for all three of you, and that is Dr. Wanda Hudson, Angelette Verdina King, and Carmelia Rankins. I don't know if Amity and Nikki Lutz are listening, but if you are, good morning to the both of you. And everybody that's tuned in, thank you so much for tuning in to Spiritual Fortitude. I am truly, truly grateful to share this time with you. So let me bring in my guest today. I had the opportunity to witness him actually perform. I went to an event where the Prince of Praise and Princess, I'm sorry, of Praise and Worship herself, Calandra Gant, was performing, and I had the opportunity to witness light-skinned Bobby Brown. I'm gonna let him expound on where that name came from, but I started to just put out just Bobby Brown and see what happened. I was like, no, I'm not gonna play with my people like that. But but light-skinned Bobby Brown is a stand-up comedian, actor, and rapper of African-American and Native American descent. He was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and is the oldest of six children born to artist Bob Rogers and Doris Brown Rogers. Now, the thing with Bobby is, y'all, he has a very diverse background. But I said, I've got to hit the hot spots and dive into this conversation with him. So I do want to mention that in 1998, he appeared in Atlanta as a guest on Voice of the Crusader, a local television show hosted by the late civil rights activist Reverend Hosea Williams. He performed two pieces of poetry. One was Did You Know?, which is a vivid description of homelessness in America. And the second one was Smell the Coffee, which was an in-depth look at racism from a minority perspective. After performing these two prolific pieces of work, Brown was dubbed the Martin Luther King of poetry by Reverend Williams himself. That's big, Bobby. Okay. Brown returned to New York after spending time here in Atlanta. He returned to New York, where he enrolled in the Waste Baron School of Acting. There, Bobby befriended acting coach David Schumann. He was impressed with Bobby's acting potential, and so he suggested to Bobby to try stand-up comedy. So after giving that serious consideration, Bobby actually entered a competition and tried for the first time in 2002. The Tom Joyner Morning Show was having a comedy competition inside a theater at Madison Square Garden. And he had the likes of Grandmaster D of Houdini, actress Kim Fields, activist Reverend Al Sharpton, and comedic veteran George Wallace in attendance. Hosting the show was, of course, Tom Joyner and comedian J. Anthony Brown. And you know, Bobby didn't win the competition, but he was very content with his performance, and he was given words of encouragement by George Wallace himself. And he said that George told him, "We both have names of other famous people. Take your name and make it work for you. When you start making money, don't you forget about your Uncle George." I could so hear him saying that too. That's awesome, Bobby. But to block out the pain of divorce, because he did experience that, Bobby decided to head back into comedy. And he performed at countless open mics and befriended some of New York's finest comedians while also sharing the same stage with the likes of Sean Harvey, Kool Herm, Kool Bubba Ice, R.I.P. Michaels, Nikki Carr, Poppy Fields, Chuck Burks, and Marshall Brandon, to name a few. And Bobby, after that, He even found time to be an extra in Dennis Leary's hit television show, Rescue Me. So he has some acting chops going on. he rededicated his life to God and began branching out into gospel comedy. I'm interested in your journey in that, Bobby. In 2010, he opened up for stellar Grammy Award nominee Cynthia Jones. And in 2013, he moved back here to Atlanta to pursue his entertainment endeavors, and with some success, he can be heard on the Jerome Bailey produced CD entitled Funk Road as a guest rapper on track number 2. That was released in September of 2013. In March of 2014, he appeared on the Atlanta-based Ona Brown radio show with a hoarse voice. Your voice is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I gotta update that.
Oh, God. Show Must Go On mentality. In 2015, Bobby performed at Hope Floods Comics Rock Convention in Los Angeles, California. He's also performed at the National Living on Laughter Gospel Comedy Association in Atlanta. Never to give up on his dreams. Light-skinned Bobby Brown continues to perform around the country as he reaches for the stars, enlightens minds, and puts smiles on faces in a way that only he can his way. Welcome, light-skinned Bobby Brown, to Spiritual Fortitude.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. I'm good. Just a little tired, that's all.
Man, well, I am just so grateful and thankful for having you here.
Where the cameras at? Do I need to be looking in the
No cameras today, Bobby. No cameras today.
Good. They can't see these bloodshot eyes this morning, so we're good.
Now, Bobby, I want to know first and foremost, what made you put light skin in front of your name?
You can't see this light skin over here. Nah, because Bobby Brown is my real name. It's not Robert. It's actually Bobby, right?
Wow.
And I was doing it to distinguish myself from the other Bobby Brown.
Gotcha. Yes. And,
Still people, is Bobby Brown your real name? yes. I mean, But yeah, that's the purpose of that.
Gotcha. You know? Yes. Because, yeah, if I didn't know any better, I'd be like, Bobby Brown.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know that the other Bobby Brown, his real name is actually Robert.
Yeah.
And Bobby is a nickname for Robert. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. Just like Ted is a nickname for Ed, and mm-hmm. Jack is a nickname for John. I don't know where this stuff come from, but my name is actually Bobby Brown.
Wow. Yeah. My goodness. Now, how was that for you, you know, growing up?
It was all right till Bobby Brown came out with Don't Be Cruel on solo, you know. But prior to that, even when he was in New Edition, nobody said a word.
Wow.
But as soon as Don't Be Cruel became number one and all that album, Prerogative.
Oh, man.
I caught it.
Now, you were born in North Carolina.
Right.
Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
How did you end up in New York?
Well, the history behind that is, as a kid, I used to go back and forth to New York because that's where, you know, some of my other my family's from.
Okay.
New York and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So when I graduated high school, I moved to New York.
Gotcha.
And, I met a few years after moving there, I met my ex-wife who was from Jersey because I was recording some music.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to move here, so we moved down here.
Gotcha.
But that's, you know, it in a nutshell.
Wow. Yeah. Now, was that, I know, through the years you were going during the summers and everything, but actually moving to New York City, was that a big change for you?
Nah, because I had been going as a kid, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It was nothing for me because I had been going since I was like 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
So I graduated at 18. Yeah, I was 18 when I graduated. It's been so long. I'm old now. So nah, it wasn't a change for me. So, you know, not big. You know, it's one thing to live and walk around, but it's another thing to drive in New York. Of course, that's different.
Yes.
So, but other than that, nah, it was always good for me.
Man, so the thing that I do want to know is, growing up, were you always funny? Cracking jokes in class?
No. I never had any aspirations to be a comedian. I was always a serious guy.
Really?
I still am. Yeah. Because I didn't start comedy till I was like 30 years old.
Wow.
Whereas in other comedians that you see, they went into it, most of them, knowing that comedy was what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was a rapper. And gotcha. I was always a serious guy, smart in school.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the type that could take a joke.
Okay.
So it's ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I even, it was just purely accidental. Had no intentions on doing comedy.
Wow.
I got into it because at the time, me and my ex-wife were going through some problems. Mm-hmm. We were living here.
Okay.
But I left and went back to New York.
Gotcha.
And in the process of that, I always, you know, I was rapping, and I always carried a knapsack with tapes and CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were auditioning for this movie called Brown Sugar with Taye Diggs and Sanaa Lathan. But since I wasn't in the union, I wasn't allowed to read for the part. But I was allowed to leave a headshot, which I did.
Okay.
So I left a headshot, forgot about it. And this was like literally about two or three weeks before 9-1-1 happened.
Wow.
And I had came back down south right the, like 2 days before 9-1-1 went down because I got a traffic ticket I wanted to fight.
Mm.
And I go back up after that, and me and my wife still, you
mm-hmm.
know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you fast forward from September, October, November, December, then my wife tells me she wants me to come back down here because she's pregnant with our second son at the time.
Wow.
So I left, came back, and as soon as I left, the people called me from the movie
mm-hmm.
based off my headshot.
Wow.
But by the time I returned the call, they had already cast Mos Def for that part.
Oh, man.
So I said, well, maybe if they take me off my looks, maybe I'll try acting. So I went back up and started taking some acting classes. Acting coach suggested that I try comedy because he thought I was a naturally funny guy because we would be doing monologues. And he'd be always in the corner with his arms crossed like this, like mm-hmm. laughing. I'm like, what is he laughing at? I'm trying to do something serious. And then one day after class, he said, man, you're funny. You know, you're good doing this and that, but you should try comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was drinking, mm-hmm. which I've been sober now for 9 years.
Amen.
And I got a little bit of liquid courage. And mm-hmm. as you read on the thing, I entered this contest and didn't win, but that's how the comedy started. But after that, I didn't get on stage again for 2 more years.
Wow.
Because I still was dibbling and dabbling with hip-hop and comedy, mm-hmm. and, you know. So that's how that happened.
My goodness. So I, you know, just going through your bio, it seems to me as if you were going through a separation and then a divorce. And it appears to me that you actually turned your pain from that into purpose.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she don't be listening, you know, because my ex-wife is real sensitive. She can't take jokes.
Okay.
So
okay.
Some stuff is true in my material. Some is not true. Only I know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had to because that a divorce. Nobody gets married to get a divorce.
Right.
And I've been divorced now almost 20 years.
Wow.
And I thought I'd be remarried by now, but don't nobody want me. So,
don't say that, Bobby.
I ain't gonna say nobody want me. It's easy to find somebody, but it's hard to find a person that you fit, that's compatible with you.
Gotcha. You know? Gotcha.
And I'm not ready. I'm not, you know, I'm not orange juice pulp. I ain't gonna settle, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll just be, you know, I'm content, but, you know, I'm not happy, but I'm content. Just put it like that.
Are you looking?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You remember, like, Timmy Rogers on Sam and oh, yeah. You know, but I'm not aggressively. My day job hinders me from the social life that I'd like to have.
Okay.
And I gig and do shows around my day job.
Mm-hmm.
Because COVID was a eye opener.
Yeah.
And I'm not leaving my day job like that.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. So, you started comedy. Let me say this. Now, when your acting coach told you to pursue stand-up comedy, were you very receptive to that at first? Or were you like, maybe...
Well, you know, I was a fan of comedy,
mm-hmm.
Because I've always been a Richard Pryor fan.
Okay.
That's my favorite comedian, mm-hmm. period. But I never knew you could make money from it. I never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, you know, my first love was hip-hop.
Gotcha.
And it's emotional now for me to even listen to hip-hop. But hip-hop and comedy is so related,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that, you know, everybody wants to try to... put a cap on what you say.
Right.
Punchlines as a rapper, same as punchlines with comedians. Mm-hmm. The culture is so similar.
Right.
So, you know, I just never saw myself doing it.
Yeah.
You know, never saw myself doing it. I'm not great. I'm good. I can be great and have been great at times, mm-hmm. because I know my place.
Right.
I respect the art of comedians that were doing it before me with that intent in mind,
mm-hmm.
whereas, and I came in, you know, as a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I feel like I can hold my own. When I, you know, because it's not a competition with me. It's never been a competition with me.
Amen.
I just want to be the best I can be when I'm on the set on mm-hmm. the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hope that trickles down to everybody else on the show.
Amen. So, I have like five good questions I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
Right now, I'm going to stick a pin in it, and we're going to go to the Spiritual Fortitude Praise Break, which is Never Seen the Righteous by Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers.
Now, it's the Spiritual Fortitude Praise Break on 102.6, The Situation.
I was
And that was the Spiritual Fortitude Praise Break, Never Seen the Righteous by Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers. The Spiritual Fortitude Praise Break is sponsored by Anointed Aromas, which is owned and operated by Apostle LaWanda Peters. Good morning, Apostle Peters. Anointed Aromas provides organic hand-poured candles, specialty candles, anointed oil blends, and more. There are a wide variety of fragrances like Better Than Vicks for congestion, balsam and cedar, warm vanilla sugar, blood orange, sandalwood, bye-bye negativity, eucalyptus spearmint, and frankincense and myrrh. And that's just a few I'm naming. There are plenty of them. So go to her website and order yours today at lawandapeters.com/shop. And as soon as you put that link in, you will see Anointed Aromas pop up on the screen. All right. And you know that I am dedicated to the cause of Community Concerns Incorporated. I am on the board. And so I have just made it my business to promote what we are doing as an agency, and we're committed to assisting the homeless and working poor. And through our housing programs, CCI is ending the nightmare of homelessness for some of the most in-need citizens of Atlanta. Housing is provided at the Odyssey Villas, which consist of 32 apartment units with 2, 3, or 4 bedrooms for families transitioning from homelessness. Odyssey Oasis includes 2 standalone houses that can be shared by single working women, and a resource center that is used to distribute groceries, clothing, and household goods to those in need. Now, if you know of a family that is seeking housing, if you're interested in being a volunteer, or if you just want to contribute to the cause, you can go to CCI's website, which is www.communityconcernsinc.com. You can download the Givelify app and look for Community Concerns, Inc. and make a donation there. You can also donate via PayPal by going to donate@communityconcernsinc.com, or you can make your check a money order payable to Community Concerns, Inc., P.O. Box 4185, Atlanta, Georgia, 30302. And if you have not tuned in to the first half of my interview with light-skinned Bobby Brown, you heard correct, then you missed the story behind that name. But I have truly enjoyed my conversation with him thus far. But I do want to get into one thing that I mentioned during your bio, Bobby, and that is your interaction with the late great Reverend Hosea Williams. So you told me over the break that you did not know who he was, actually.
I had no idea.
Wow.
Friend of mine named Jeff Bellamy, who's from, I think Jeff was from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn or Queens. And he was living down here in Georgia working for the WB Network when they first started,
okay.
You know, kind of early in their existence.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some kind of way he set it up for me to appear on the show as mm-hmm. a poet. I was a rapper, but rap and poetry is the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I come to appear on the show. I never asked who he was. Mm-hmm. Think Jeff might have went over it kind of quickly. All I knew is he was a civil rights activist.
Okay.
But I didn't, you know, at that time, I wasn't even politically astute.
Gotcha.
I'll be reading astute. Write that down for those that are listening. I wasn't politically astute or aware of a lot of the things because I just, you know, I'm just living my life as a young kid. Mm-hmm. I was like 20, 24, 25. I appear on the show, and after I did what I do, he dubbed me the Dr. Martin Luther King of poetry.
Mm-hmm. That was huge.
And, yeah, it was really huge. And still, I didn't know who he was when he dubbed it.
Mm-hmm.
And after, you know, after we talked in the studio, then I was like, oh, man, that's.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you go look and see that he's on the pictures there when Dr. King is
in Memphis,
is assassinated.
Yeah.
And because you hear so many people, I marched with Dr. King, mm-hmm. or this, that. And I'm sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not demeaning their contributions to the movement.
Right.
But Hosea Williams was like right there with Jesse Jackson. When you speak of him, and then when I moved here, it really hit.
Right.
But when he dubbed me the Martin Luther King of poetry, I had to look at my music.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing comedy at the time.
Okay.
My music was never vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
But I did, you know, say some words here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to. I was like, this man dubbed me this. This image, you know.
It kind of made you reevaluate some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, you know, and I'm an artist. I believe in free speech.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, as a comedian, I'm not vulgar. I don't call myself a Christian comedian. I'm just a comedian.
Okay.
And the reason why, because there was a time when I first wanted to do straight gospel comedy,
mm-hmm.
was around 2010.
Okay.
At that time, I had been doing it for about 8 years. And I called somebody about getting booked.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that I was talking to made me feel like if I wasn't, they didn't say the words, but the vibe they were giving me is that if I wasn't at their Christian level, or my relationship, you know, wasn't where theirs was. And I'm like, you don't even know my relationship with
exactly.
God. You say that.
Wow.
And, you know, and then there were people that would book me.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't take deposits at the time because I didn't charge $1 million. So
mm-hmm.
I would say I get mine when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would call like maybe 2-3 days or a week out before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several people that canceled on me because they would go back and look online at stuff that I've done that's still out there.
Wow.
I don't even know how to take some of the stuff down because I'm not tech savvy
because mm-hmm.
somebody else put that stuff up for me. And they judging me based on stuff that I've done in the past. And I said, well, to me, that's so un-Christian-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it most was getting it and still do with the Christian community as far as the judgmental thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my view of it is like this. A few years ago, the Stellar Awards was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Cedric the Entertainer. And you had Steve Harvey hosted,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, I respect them as comedians, but they had sets,
mm-hmm.
comedy sets where they
use
foul language, uh-huh. but nobody said anything to them
right.
because it's them.
Mm-hmm.
But me being I got to know where I'm at. I'm a class B, class C comedian. Nobody don't know me like that,
mm-hmm.
except for certain people in comedy circles.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm not Steve Harvey, I'm not Cedric the Entertainer, then people looked at me different.
Yeah.
Instead of just taking me and my blessing for what I have to
mm-hmm.
offer for what it is, you know what I'm saying? You know, don't judge me like that.
No,
so I had to go through that. So I quit, you know, just putting myself in a box
mm-hmm.
because the expectations of people and the judgmental, you know, the judgment of people in our community is so
yeah.
confusing that it'll smack you in the face and make you be like, eh.
Yeah,
you know.
I call them religious people.
Yeah,
they're
so religious.
Yeah. I do. And you can't tell them they not wrong.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear all that, but them the ones that you know aren't for you.
Right. Right.
At all.
You know, I say this, if we were perfect, we wouldn't need God.
Exactly.
So, you know, Kirk Franklin is a perfect example of that when
mm-hmm.
him and his son got into it.
Mm-hmm.
No, if that had been me,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a whole super, you know what I mean? And I understood, you know what I mean?
Right.
You sometimes you slip and, you know,
mm-hmm.
but people are so unforgiving and so judgmental in the Christian community that I say, you know, I'm just going to be me.
I really feel like those individuals don't understand what being, I won't even label it being a Christian, just being in your own personal relationship with God.
Not critical thinkers.
Yeah, critical thinkers. And looking beyond themselves and forgetting that they've had human moments too.
Right.
We all have human moments.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't point your finger at one person. You gotta remember, you got four more pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do. That goes on a lot amongst the church folk.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. It's right. So unfortunate. And I can understand why you would say I'm just a comedian, but my material is clean. Is that a better way of?
Yeah, you know, the majority of it, you know, because I do both, but my special, well, I got a special out on Prime.
Yes, let's talk about that too, Clean Sweet.
Yeah, so I'm friends with one of my good friends is Hamburger from Def Comedy.
Hamburger.
Yeah, uh-huh. Ham took me on the road, and I met him in Philadelphia like several years back.
Okay.
To a promoter named Anthony Trott.
Okay.
And me and Ham just vibed. And Ham, a lot of people don't know, Ham don't curse. Uh-huh. And this was a gospel show that I was on with him and my man Laughing Lenny out of D.C. and Tommy Too Smooth, who's from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be around those guys. And it was an all-clean show, gospel show. We knew that going in. I'm able to do, you know, just.
Yeah.
And not that any of my material is, like, super vulgar like that anyway that's outside of that realm.
Mm-hmm.
But Ham took me on the road with him, and he never told me how to do my stuff. You have comedians that'll tell you, well, don't say this, don't do this, or mm-hmm. don't talk about this. He never told me not to do this and not to do that because he was confident in himself.
Right.
You know, no, he had to go behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started doing, I preferred doing clean comedy gospel shows,
mm-hmm.
But they don't. I don't always get those calls like that.
Gotcha.
But I did this special that I didn't even think was gonna get picked up like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and every special that I'm gonna do is gonna be clean because I'm working on another one,
okay.
And it's gonna be more not just clean gospel clean.
Uh-huh.
My style is what I call gospel clean. I give you scriptures. Tell you where you can find it, because you got a lot of people say the Bible says this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say something and then I'll tell you where it's at in the Bible.
Okay,
that's my difference. Whereas other people will say they doing gospel comedy and they're just doing clean comedy,
mm-hmm.
and that's cool. But I take the word gospel real serious, so you know I'll do something like that. So
okay.
With this special, that's what I was trying to bring across.
Yeah,
and that's why it's called Clean Sweep. It's got my cousin Jerry Cook on there. Jerry,
okay.
Big Daddy Laugh a Lot. What up, Jerry? Out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, big and, up Charlotte.
Yeah, man. So we, you know, we put that together. It was produced by Ty Banks out of Raleigh, North Carolina, and my cousin William Lilly. And you know, you can get it at Tubi or Prime Video. Clean Sweep.
Okay.
Me and Light Skin Bobby Brown. And hope y'all like it. You know, it's soft. It's for the whole family. You know what I mean? A little family-friendly comedy. So.
That's awesome. And that can, and that's Clean Sweep, and it can be seen on either Tubi or Prime Video.
That's correct.
Awesome. Okay, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So y'all check that out. Check that out. Y'all know y'all love Tubi anyway. So I got caught up watching Tubi yesterday.
Tubi got a lot of stuff out there, man. It's a platform, boy. A lot of people knock it, but
yeah.
I'm thankful for it because it's a platform.
It is. And a lot of movies and specials that normally would not, you know, get picked up by the big wigs. In the industry, they're having the opportunity to still put their stuff out like that. So, yeah.
A lot of stuff out there.
Big up the Tubi.
yeah. This is Boxing is my favorite sport, and I got a comedy friend named Dannon Green, who's also from Philly, and he had a special out, a documentary about boxing called The Executioner, so just plug that real quick.
Yeah. Okay, The Executioner.
The Executioners. It's about a bunch of boxers that are call themselves The Executioners, and this just documents the whole boxing scene of Philadelphia that he was a part of, and it's excellent stuff. You can find some excellent stuff on too.
Yeah, you can. And you'll get caught up and stuck all day if you allow you.
I'm on some other stuff on too. I'm on like two or three different things. Yes.
There's a diverse movies and specials to choose from.
You can find it
on Tubi.
You can find it.
Now, Bobby, you know that there's been a lot going on in the comedy arena, especially this year, 2024.
Oh, yeah.
How do you see the state of that industry? Do you think it will improve? Because there's been a lot of tearing down and truths told and rumors out. And
I hope that. Well, improve. I hope it improves in one aspect of which I don't see. I don't think it will. I hope it improves from a standpoint of comedians getting along.
Amen.
Because there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
I hate to see, especially at our age. You know, I'm 52. I'm not ashamed to say my age. I'm 52 years old. When you get to a certain age, you're what I call seasoned.
Gotcha.
And I don't like to see the beefs.
Yeah.
Because some people, even the comedians, are some of the most sensitive people that I've ever come into contact with. They can dish it out, tell jokes, and, you know, this and that, but they can't take anything.
Gotcha.
I'm not one of the people. I don't care what you say about me, because I'm confident in right. who I am, and I've always been that. Well, I wasn't always that. Music made me be that way, but I've been like that since I was about 16, 17 years old. But I would like to see that. Another thing, you had a lot of internet comedians. They weren't trying to be comedians. They just did a lot of skits. And a lot of the older comedians were upset with the internet comedians because they were getting booked because of the followers. You have to understand the promoter's perspective. Their job is to make money and fill up the seats.
True.
Well, what you would find is the internet comedians, they couldn't do the actual art of stand-up.
Ah, okay.
So when they would be there, you know, they might be good for the first few minutes, but the audience wasn't feeling them. And now it's going back, kind of making a comeback where the actual comedian is able to, you know, still get more room than what they were for. Few years that's gone by, the last, you know, X amount of years or so has prevented that.
Okay.
Unless you're a name, you know, big name, but as far I'm talking about as far as like the comedy clubs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I actually know a couple of individuals that started out on the internet, but they've been able to hold their own.
Yeah, and I'm for it. I mean, I got to learn to embrace the technology, which I got to use my kids to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I understood it, you know, but I don't want to stand in the way of somebody eating.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see anybody disrespect the art, because comedy is an art.
It is.
And it's a craft to it. You're only as good as your last show.
True.
So, you know, that's how I see that.
Wow. This is stuck in my head. But back to when you were talking about that title of gospel comedy, and all I could think about was that the word gospel actually means the good news. And so with you vying to keep, you know, your comedy clean, which I can't even picture you doing anything else. I just can't. I can't picture that. But
they said that when I was rapping. You don't look like a rapper. What a rapper look like?
I don't know. They just got a certain swag about it. I could see that, though.
Well, oh, I was nice with it. Because, you know, my mom used to say stuff like, I was saying, Mom, so-and-so stole out of the store. He looked like he was still. Look at the back of his head.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness.
They'd say something like that. What did that look like? You know? But, yeah.
Yeah, man. So how can our listeners connect with you? You know, some might be interested in booking you. So how can they connect with you?
Well, several ways. Of course, Facebook. I'm a Facebook audience. Just look up Bobby Brown. If you put light-skinned Bobby Brown, I'll come up quicker. And light-skinned is spelled LITESKINNED.
Mm-hmm.
That's LITESKINNED, light-skinned Bobby Brown. Or you can get me on IG at LSB Brown, LSB Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Email, light-skinned Bobby Brown at Yahoo, LITESKINNED, Bobby Brown at Yahoo. And my phone number is on my IG as well as my Facebook account.
Okay. So. Cool. Now, you're not on TikTok yet?
I got an account, but I don't know how to use it like that. You know, I'm trying. I got like two or three posts.
Oh,
maybe,
man.
I give the boy my sons a day, my boys a day. Maybe,
yeah.
They
need to get some clips from Clean Sweeping.
I got them, but I gotta learn how to chop it up.
Right.
So. Materials there.
Well, my last question for you is, for anybody that is looking into entering the industry of comedy, what would be the key advice that you would give to them?
Well, as a comedian, you got to get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get on stage when I, you know, like open mics, you have to get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to open mics as much as I used to work on material.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have this real thing about people stealing jokes. Because
gotcha.
I do a lot of one-liners.
Okay.
I also tell stories, and, you know, I don't worry about the stories too much because nobody can tell my story the way I tell it.
Right.
But you got to get on stage, and you got to write. You got to and think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most comedians, we have some of the same topics, but we hit them in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But then you, all of a sudden, you have somebody that thinks outside of the box with a subject that's right there that nobody's touched.
Right.
Just be different. You know, try to be as different as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever your comedy hero is, look and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Fredo Food Stamp Davis told me this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that comedian, see what's working for them, and just study. Study your comedians.
Right.
And that's the best advice I can give.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was light-skinned Bobby Brown. Please, I implore you to tune in to a special Clean Sweep, which can be seen on Tubi or Prime Video. Thank you so very much for tuning in, but don't you go anywhere. Continue to stay locked in for more gospel music right here on Spiritual Situations.